Welcome to the Ask Dr. Turner Radio Ministry broadcast. Prepare to be enlightened and empowered. Without further delay, here's your host, Dr. Turner.
Greetings and welcome once again to the broadcast. Brother Fidel, your co-host, sitting in for the Honorable Apostle Dr. LaTanya Turner and Prophetic Pastor D. Free. Excited about the word of the Lord that I'm going to share with you on this broadcast, but let's pause for a ministry identification as this awesome broadcast designed by the Holy Spirit with you in mind is brought to you by Pure in Heart Deliverance and Outreach Ministries International, located at 2851 Edgewood Avenue North in the city of Jacksonville, Florida. Service time Sundays at 12 noon, and also Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m. This is an evangelistic missions-minded ministry that prays without ceasing. And we cordially extend an invitation to you and yours to join us in one of our awesome services. Once again, Sundays at 12 noon, Wednesday, 7 p.m. Pure in Heart Deliverance and Outreach Ministries International, located at 2851 Edgewood Avenue North in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. And know that we here at the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast continue to maintain a posture of prayer for you, our beloved listeners. We strongly believe in the power of Almighty God to bring forth change and transformation through prayer. This is a key reason, beloved, why Holy Spirit gave Dr. Turner the unction to record a prayer CD, which will help to comfort and strengthen you in these difficult times. And if you're dealing with some tough situations, if you have concerns, questions concerning your walk, questions concerning anything in the Bible, please email us at askdrturner@gmail.com. That is askdrturner, @gmail.com, or visit us on the web, AskDrTurner.org, where you can obtain a copy of the prayer CD. And if the Lord puts it on your heart to be a blessing to this ministry, you can do so using our Cash App, the $P, I, H, followed by the word church with a capital C. If you wish, you can write to us, Pure in Heart, P.O. Box 26725, Jacksonville, Florida, 32226. Let's get to the word of the Lord. During one of my morning meditation scripture reading, I saw something in the book of Exodus, chapter 40, verses 9 through 15, that I want to use for the crux of this teaching, from the subject, anointed to be holy. Anointed to be holy. When a person is a gifted, charismatic speaker in terms of preaching and teaching God's word, when someone can move you with their vocals as a psalmist, a worship leader, etc., it is not unusual, nor is it uncommon, to hear that person described as being anointed. But it is important that we're able to discern the difference between a gift someone has and the anointing of God on his or her life. I was truly blessed by Exodus 40, verses 9 through 15, because in those verses I saw the correlation between being anointed and being holy. Notice I said being holy and not just living holy, because holiness must first be a state of being before it can be a state of doing. Hence why the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1:15 declares, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Glory to God. The I am the apostle is quoting or referring to is the Most High God. So, with the correlation between the anointing and holiness in mind, let's exegete or pull out some golden nuggets out of Exodus chapter 40. verses 9 through 15. Now, Exodus represents a departure, God bringing a people out of bondage to go into a place of promise. And in Exodus chapter 40, it begins with God's instructions to his servant Moses to set up the tabernacle on the first day of the first month, Abib, and to put the ark of the testimony and the furnishings in it, in the tabernacle. Why the first day of the first month? I believe because first and foremost is God's desire to tabernacle amongst his people, to have a place or a space where he could commune with them. When we get to verse 9, there is a shift, beloved, from the furnishings to the anointing oil. Verse 9 reads, "And thou shalt take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is therein, and shall hallow it." Remember this word, hallow. "And all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy." So here we see the correlation or the connection with the anointing and holiness. The anointing and that which is hallowed. The anointing oil had to be applied to every area of the tabernacle, the dwelling place of the ark which contained the Most High's presence. In order to hallow it, and to make it holy, because the Almighty One does not dwell or tabernacle in any place, any vessel that is not hallowed, that is not holy. So it is important to note that in the model prayer given to his disciples by Jesus, according to Matthew 6 and 9, Jesus told them, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So again, we see the dwelling place, heaven, right? The dwelling place of his presence, immediately followed by the word hallowed. So at this juncture, let me go ahead and define the word hallow or hallowed as it is used in Exodus 40 and 9 in Hebrew and Matthew 6 and 9 in Greek. Hallow, Exodus 40 and 9, is the Hebrew word kadash, Q-A-D-A-S-H. And it means to make, to be, right, or to make, to pronounce, or to observe as clean, to consecrate, to dedicate, to be, or to keep holy. It also means to purify, to sanctify, and to prepare. So when God brought his people out of the bondage of Egypt, prior to bringing them into the place of promise, they went through a wilderness experience of preparation, preparing, glory to God, to have the Most High tabernacle in their midst. Beloveds, from the moment we became born again by the washing, the cleansing of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been in a process of preparation for an eternal life of holiness in the presence of Almighty God. Through the consecrating and sanctifying power of the Holy Ghost. This is the ultimate objective of salvation, delivering us from the bondage of sin so we can be and live holy. Isaiah 43 and 21, Isaiah writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking the word of the Lord, said, "This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise." So the praises of God, God's worship, should emanate from vessels that are consecrated, vessels that are sanctified, and vessels that are hallowed. So now let's look at the word hallowed in Matthew 6 and 9, the Greek word agiazo, H-A-G-I-A-Z-O. And it means to make holy, purify, consecrate, to venerate, to sanctify, from the root word hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S, which means blameless, and it's also where we get the word saint from, which is a word used to describe the disciples or the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is an expectation, beloved, and justifiably so, that his disciplined one, his disciples, well, his students, it's actually a word which means students, right? Or disciplined students, right? Will yield to the Holy Spirit, who is the consecrator. Right? Those that have submitted themselves under his tutelage, under his teaching, under his leadership now as students, right? Endeavor to consecrate themselves. He is the one who teaches us, the Holy Spirit is, how to live holy, how to be consecrated, how to be sanctified through the word, through the blood. So, hallow and hallowed in Exodus 40 and 9 and in Matthew 6 and 9 have the same meaning. Now, let's go to verses 12 through 15 of Exodus 40, because here we see a shift from anointing things, the furnishings, right? First the tabernacle, then the things in the tabernacle. Now to the anointing and washing of Aaron and his sons, so they could minister to the Most High in the priest office. Pay close attention, beloved, to this, because it is the institution of the eternal priesthood into which Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, would bring into the priesthood Gentiles who he cleanses by his blood and sealed with the Holy Ghost. Exodus 40, beginning at 12. This is the Most High's instructions to Moses. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him and sanctify him. So here we see a process of washing, sanctification, purification for Aaron, the first high priest, his sons, glory to God, in order for them to minister unto the Most High in the priest office, which lets us know, ladies and gentlemen, that not any and everyone can stand in the office of the priest. That individual must submit, glory to God, to the purification, the sanctification. And here is the purpose, right? To minister or serve God in the office of the priest. Not just about standing behind a podium dressed neatly or nattily with individuals, glory to God, hanging on every word. No, it's about sanctification. It is about purification. It is about consecration. It is, beloved, about living lives that are holy and pleasing before the Lord. There's some powerful images for us to consider here, right? Moses is God's prophet and deliverer, and he's instructed now to bring Aaron, whom God has chosen now to be the first high priest, and Aaron's sons, right? Because they will succeed him, to the entry point of the tabernacle, the meeting place. And the first thing he is instructed to do is to wash them. Glory to God. Cleanse them. Because the priest cannot enter the tabernacle of the Most High if he or she is not cleansed. Now, we can enter what we call the church building, and we can have great celebration in God. But if we truly want to minister in the presence of the Lord, as the priest of the Most High God, we need to be cleansed, male and female. I say he or she as a reference to God's modern day priest, because according to Galatians 3 and 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And that one is a group of people, a many-membered company set aside, glory to God, to minister, to serve the Most High God. Our high priest and mediator, Jesus Christ, has washed us, beloved, by his blood, so we could become his tabernacle, his sanctuary, his holy habitation. In Aaron's case, glory to God, they were washed in water. We are cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to be a part of this eternal priesthood. As previously read, Moses was told, "And thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father," speaking of the sons, "that they may minister unto me in the priest office." The Lord's priests, whether they teach, preach, prophesy, lead praise and worship, glory to God, are not anointed for fame and fortune, and are anointed just to receive accolades and platitudes, though that may be a byproduct of the anointing. No, we are anointed to minister, anointed to serve, glory to God, anointed to live sanctified, consecrated, holy, set apart lives, so the Most High can manifest his presence, manifest his glory, manifest his power and his authority through the vessels whom he has chosen. So anointed people are not supposed to be puffed up, arrogant, and full of pride. Anointed people love to serve. They're not looking to be served. Not only the Most High God, but also others, right? Serving in the house of God, but also serving and helping the poor and the needy. No one is or was more anointed than Jesus Christ, the Savior. Why? Because there was never a greater servant. He said to his disciples, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." In verse 13 of Exodus 40, we read where Aaron is clothed, covered with holy garments. I mean, we see this theme over and over, beloved, of holiness, sanctification, hallowing, consecration. Jesus Christ, our great high priest and deliverer, was clothed in holiness through the indwelling of Holy Spirit without measure. So for Aaron, there had to be garments made of holy garments of glory and beauty. But Jesus Christ, glory to God, was filled, indwelled by the Holy Spirit without measure. Meaning when he walked the earth, there was no one more consecrated, no one more sanctified, no one who lived more holy. Yet he did not act holier than thou in the sense of being prideful, so to speak, like the Pharisees, right? He manifested that holiness and sanctification and purity and kindness and love by sitting amongst, tax collectors and wine bibbers and that sort. Exodus 40 and 14, Moses was instructed to bring Aaron's sons and clothe them with coats, coverings. Beloved, we are being prepared for sonship, which includes male and female. Again, this is important because the criteria is not gender-based. It is holiness-based. It is sanctification-based. It is consecration-based, beloved. It is based on holiness. When our great high priest, Jesus the Christ, presents us to the Father, it won't be in coats. It will be, ladies and gentlemen, as a bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. It will be as a great company of many membered sons made up again of both male and female. Hence John 1 verses 11 through 13, which says, he, Jesus, came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born again by grace through faith, beloved. Why? Glory to God. So we can be adopted into the family of God as sons of God. And this is not an exclusive club, because remember, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. So the key is here just to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, to put our trust in his name, glory to God, to believe in the finished work for expiation and the propitiation of our sins. And based on that faith and belief, glory to God, we are adopted as sons. Not strangers, not bastards, not aliens, glory to God, not Gentiles that are just wandering, tossed and turned, no, but into the family of God, into the covenant that God Almighty established with his patriarch Abraham. That's what the born-again experience is all about. Besides the holy garments for Aaron and the coats for his sons, Exodus 28 verses 36 to 38 records this, these instructions given to Moses concerning Aaron and holiness. Remember, we're referring to anointed to be holy. You know, I had a friend that's, you know, an international and a musician and worship person. And he was speaking to me one day and he says, if you could ever know what goes on behind the scenes at some of these award shows, you would not believe it. And I had to ask him, I said, Christian awards? And he said, yes. See, because it's not just about the ability to entertain. It's not just about, you know, some charismatic gift that an individual may have, beloved. No, it is all about sanctification. Again, I can't stress this enough. Consecration, living holy in the presence of Almighty God. Exodus 28, 36 to 38 records this concerning Aaron, the first high priest, and holiness. And the Lord instructed Moses, and thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it, right? Engraven in the plate of pure gold, like the engravings of a signet, a seal, right? And what is to be engraved in the pure plate of gold? Holiness to the Lord. And when you look in Exodus chapter 28, beginning at 36, you will see that holiness to the Lord is here. It's powerful, right? We know that gold speaks of deity, right? Of course, it has to be pure gold, glory to God, because it cannot have any blemish or any impurities in it. It has to go through the fire, ladies and gentlemen, to be purified, right? And God instructed Moses of all the things to engrave on it, like a signet, like a seal, glory to God, from a great authority, like a king, is what? Holiness to the Lord. Because above all else, beloved, if we are not endeavoring to live holy, sanctified, purified, consecrated lives in the presence of the Lord, then our preaching, our teaching, our prophesying, and all these other things we do, glory to God, will not merit, will not benefit us and benefit others in the way that they should. They must be rooted and grounded in purification. I was challenged, glory to God. I was exhorted by God during my meditation and reading of Exodus chapter 40 to just dig into this and to even examine my own life. And I challenge you, beloved, glory to God, to examine your life. Is there an area in my life, in your life, where we're not allowing Holy Spirit, where we're not allowing, glory to God, the Lord, to help us with an area that's not sanctified, consecrated unto Him? Let's pause for a ministry identification. You're listening to the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast, beloved. Brought to you by Pure in Heart Deliverance and Outreach Ministries International, located in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida, 2851 Edgewood Avenue North. You're invited to join us in service Sundays, 12 noon, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for awesome Bible study. So, holiness to the Lord. This is what Moses was instructed, glory to God, to have engraved. And he says, and thou shalt put it on a blue lace, blue, one of the color that the priest wore, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. The mitre is that thing which the priest wore on their head. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. So, beloved, this is very important, because there's not a time when God Almighty does not expect us to be holy. Now, he understands, glory to God, that there are times when we're going to fall short. But this is why he gives us the opportunity to repent, to have a change of mind, to turn, glory to God, from that which is unholy. This is why the blood was shed, the cleansing, glory to God, power that's in the blood gives us an opportunity to repent. And God will accept that repentance, because our great mediator and high priest, the true sanctified, holy, purified one, gave his life that we would not be condemned. So it would always be upon Aaron's forehead, that he may be accepted before the Lord. And I love this part again, where it said the children of Israel shall hallow. Glory to God. For our times and season, the church, the body, the beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ should hallow, first of all, our minds, our hearts, glory to God, and all things that we bring before God. So for God's children, beloved, holiness is to be upon us at all times. Revelation 22:1-5. John speaking, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. His servants shall serve or minister to him in the beauty of holiness, beloved, because he has anointed us to do so. His name that will be in their foreheads will be holy. So let me wrap up with this. Exodus 40:15-16. And thou shalt anoint them, the sons of Aaron, as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister to me in the priest's office, right? For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout all their generations. Beloved, I bless you and I thank you for joining us. You've been in tune to the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast. Shalom.
Thank you for tuning into the Ask Dr. Turner radio broadcast, a ministry of Pure in Heart Ministries. To learn more or to submit your questions to Dr. Turner, email askdrturner8@gmail.com or visit askdrturner.org.
We look forward to having you join us again next Saturday at 6:30 p.m. right here on Praise 107.9.